when it comes to EVE Online, every player wants to know the most effective tactic available. You want to know the meta. The meta controls everything. It determines what will and will not happen. Knowing the meta will alter your views, make you question your reality. It might even make you laugh. And now, you're part of it. You're watching The Meta Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Meta Show. My name is Brisk Rabal. This is a happy Derby Day weekend. Welcome to all of you who are watching us here. You could be watching horses racing, but instead, you're going to watch us drink mint juleps and beat dead horses live on the air for your viewing pleasure. How are you, sir? I'm joined by the Matani.
You're making me miss Royal Ascot, I'm not going to lie. Like, if it wasn't for all of this pandemic nonsense, I would have gotten my fill of Derby Day action in June. But alas, plague and top hats don't mix very well. So, here we are. Also, there's a small ant on the top of my webcam, which is very distracting right now.
And that's so exciting.
I might have to fucking kill this thing.
Smack it.
All right. Actually didn't kill it because it caused more damage to try to get rid of it. Anyway, so with that, we have a bunch of shit to go over today. We're not going to talk about the fact that ProGod just fed a bunch because he is an easily trolled guy who did a morale post yesterday and then ate shit for it and I guess is now going to eat more shit for it. So we've got some war stuff, but there's not really to talk about besides, you know, basically a week-long record of failure on the piss B side of things. So same shit, different week. We're going to do in our soapboxes, but what we really have here today is a deep dive by people who know what the fuck they're talking about, not me. Brisk might understand the topic far better than me, but I certainly am not qualified to do this. And one of the challenges that we have uncovered here in the last couple of weeks on the Meta Show, when we're not doing grab my balls, snuggy wearing fireside, you know, episodes or stuff like that, is there's a lot of stuff that people don't really understand about the industry changes that have now sort of come in, what's coming next, and just really what the hell is happening. And, you know, out here in warfare land, we're running into situations where, you know, in the war, we want to smash thousands of ships against each other, and suddenly lots of Ferroxes are going boom, and then, hey, where are the Ferroxes? Dreadnoughts are getting blown up, and then suddenly sourcing is becoming an issue. People are going to begin asking questions. So what we're trying to do today is to bring you actual industry experts who will then talk amongst themselves and explain to the rest of us who the winners and losers are, what's up, what's down, and how does this translate into actual strategic takeaways. So yeah, that's what we've got for you today and a bunch of other stuff. So Brisk, why don't you start us off?
Absolutely. I know Fountain Frank is going to stop by because he has some exciting updates on the world of the initiative. So he's going to be out here to talk a little bit. And then I wanted to hop on my soapbox for a minute because I've noticed a disturbing trend here over the last, I would say, approximately a week. Reddit has gotten spicy again. And what I mean by Reddit has gotten spicy again is we've seen an uptick in the amount of anger and vitriol and name-calling. And some have accused us and said, oh, Matani, your last fireside was so toxic. Why were you so mean? And they said, babies. Brisk, what? You're better than this, Brisk. Why are you saying mean things to people? And I just like to get up on my soapbox and say, listen, this is the Meta Show. This is not testing stations. This is not any of the other programs that are out there that provide you guys with unbiased accounts. Typically, they're unbiased, but they're also uninformed accounts of what's happening in EVE. This is the Meta Show. If you came here expecting nice behavior from the two hosts and the guests and the people in chat, you will be sorely disappointed. Just like my dog is disappointed that he's not going to get to tear up whoever is in the front yard he's barking at right now. Listen, this is EVE. This is a game. It's a hardcore game. We like to fight. We go out there. We talk smack in local. We talk smack on Reddit. We shitpost until our hands bleed. It's what we do. If you are going to get seriously butthurt because someone calls you a name that you had probably heard in preschool or maybe in elementary school or maybe in high school or maybe when you were in college Or maybe when you stole somebody's parking spot on Christmas Eve in the mall parking lot, then I don't want to tell you. You got to thicken this. You got to get the thicker skin. You got to bulk up a little bit here, okay? People are going to name call. They're going to say dirty words. They're going to call you names. I don't care whether you're me, you're Mitanni, you're a major alliance leader, or you're just some guy named Dr. Mibbles getting doomsdayed by his own Keepstar. It happens. Sorry. We'll take care of you, Mib. The bottom line is, this is Eve. It is a game that has a song written about it called Harden the Fuck Up. And if you're out there getting upset every time we refer to Pappy as Pispy, or every time Mittens says, eat my ass, or every time we make a joke about going upstairs and doing stuff we can't do and talk about on a Twitch stream because we're adult grown-ass men who happen to have women that live with them that allow us to touch them, I don't know what to tell you. Guys, lighten up, all right? If you don't get that rot out of your ass, it's going to give you tetanus. Smile, laugh, enjoy it. Maybe you're laughing with us, maybe you're laughing at us, maybe we're laughing at you. But in the end, have some fun, lighten up. Stop taking everything so fucking personally. It's not personal. This is business. We are on the business end of receiving a weekly punch in the dick from the entire rest of Eve. Excuse us if maybe we're not always in the best of moods about it, and we may call you a name when we get frustrated. It's not personal. It's just business. And that's my soapbox for Derby Day. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Can I just go ahead and
you want to get on yours there? Yours is up.
Hit it. Hell yeah.
You do what you want.
Talk shit, get hit is the rule of Eve. And what we have seen here time and time again is that when the puppies in Pispy are confronted with the actual truth of their actions, some of whom, like Thunderchild Gobbins or whatever the fuck it is I'm going to end up calling him, have worked for years to get this kind of attention.
You're going to get me in trouble, my friend.
Very, very hard to make enemies of us. They've gone out of the way. They have poked us with sticks. They have said mean things. And now, when finally you get the attention you've been looking for since 2015 or whatever it is, suddenly you cry like a little bitch because you're dealing with pressure. You guys talk all kinds of shit about me and my people. I don't give a flying fuck what you think, because you made it very clear you don't give a shit what we think, except that you want our validation. You want us, you feel entitled to have us agree with you and your sentiments and your views and play the way that you want us to play. That's why we're at war. Fuck you. I don't give a shit what you think. Eat my ass. You're a bunch of goddamn hypocrites.
I knew you would get red shirts on this show today.
All of these motherfuckers talking shit about the Imperium and our allies are pathetic onion skin bitches. It's pathetic because I read what they write. I read what they say. We have a spy network. I see what they clap for. I see what they cheer for. But when they want to be held accountable for the exterminationist language that came out of Villian Progod, oh, suddenly Gobbins doesn't like to be affiliated with it. Oh, that was just our allies that we've worked with for the last 11 months to try to exterminate goons. Talk shit, get hit. Eat a dick. I don't give a fuck what you think. The fact that you're angry about getting insulted means that you deserve what is coming your way. You worked hard to make enemies out of the Imperium, out of Goonswarm. You work hard every day and you cry like bitches because you are bitches. If you weren't bitches, you wouldn't be crying. So fuck you. Eat my ass. Other people will worry about saying nice things or whatever. I've seen what you've written. I have seen what you cheered for. I have seen what you clapped for. We're never going to let you live it down. You're going to be hearing about this for as long as you play Eve. So eat shit, motherfuckers, and get ready, because this is your new normal. You want to declare war against the Imperium and tell anybody who you would listen to about, oh, we're going to do this for the good of the game because Goonswarm are bad people in the real world. Did you think that we were just going to go, oh, gosh, we should do what puppies think? Gosh, these people, they really have the right of it. Fuck you. Like, seriously, how entitled? What a bunch of entitled little bitches. So please, cry more. Cry more about how mad you are that we are saying the same things back to you that you say in private about us, that you say in public about us. The only difference now is that you're crying like bitches because shit is coming home to roost in your mouth, because that was what was in your mouth to begin with. Was shit. So fuck you. I hope you're mad. I hope you get more angry. In the case of many of these people that are now crying like bitches, because apparently Gobbins is unhappy that we decided to take the gloves off. Worked for years to get our attention and to be seen as bad guys to us. They wanted to be our enemies. They worked hard for the attention. They worked hard for the spotlight. And now that they have it, they don't like it. Well, sucks to suck. Eat my ass. That's it. I'm good. Now we're going to do some economy stuff. So, like, you know, I wanted to hurl some blurbs and stuff out of the way because there's I am not qualified to discuss the things that we're about to be discussing. I'm going to be asking some very stupid questions, and our expert panel is going to tell us what to think. And I am going to be looking for the NullSec warlord, who's up, who's down, like the strategy takeaways. So right. That's my little herf blurf red shirt bit to begin with. And you're pissed off if you're pissed off, because if you're mad at what I just said, you deserve to be mad. Fuck you. All right, let's move on.
We're going to get to the top story here in a second. I just want to say two things to what Minton said. One, again, everybody out there, we name call, you name call, we can take it, you need to take it. But don't take it outside of the game, all right? Don't go too far. I don't want anybody getting DDoSed. I don't want anybody getting doxed. Don't take it too far. We can name call all we want, but you guys know there's a line. Don't cross the line, all right? But that being said, the absolute truth is, and I happen to believe this, if you don't like what somebody's saying, then don't listen to them. So if you don't like what we just said, go watch the Anger Games. If you don't like what Minton's just said, go watch something else. Marcus, if you're listening and you're taking notes for your dollar store write-up of the meta show after the show's over, make sure you get the right eat my ass count. He said it 3 times. Okay, put that in there.
I love that guy. If he didn't exist, we'd have to invent him.
And that's the thing. And that's the other thing I have to say. For folks that really don't like us and don't like the ways that we do things and don't like the show and think it's a waste of their time to watch it, damn, are we not living rent-free in your heads? And not only that, the more you talk about it, the more you complain, the more you post things on Reddit with the meta show in the title, the more you clip our stuff and play it back, that only makes us stronger. Thank you for the free advertising. So please keep it up. Marcus, I love waiting to see how you're going to spin what we said on the show every week. If you weren't doing that for us for free, I'd have to pay somebody to do it. So thank you. Now, let's get our guests here, because they've been sitting here very quietly while you and I have been ranting. And I mean, I've only had of this mint julep, so I can't even blame the bourbon for this. This is just, I've been in a fired up mood all day. My kids' baseball team won. I'm happy. They broke a losing streak. I've been in a good mood. Let's hit it. We're going to talk some industry. We got three of the smartest guys in Goon Swarm here to join us. That's our top story today. The truth behind the industry changes with Mustache, No Drac, and Kaz.
Hey everybody, I'm not sure who should start. I think the lead in here is really interesting. I got unceremoniously space fired in 2015, right? And recently have come back to play, right? And so I actually don't know much about Pandemic Horde. So it's been super interesting to see the narrative shape here as these guys are complaining about us essentially not taking it lying down, that they're wanting to go and be like, well, all of Goonswarm is horrible for the game, and we're going to go to war against them and expect us to just not do anything.
I mean, right? Do they think we're going to agree with them? I always wonder that. Yeah, yeah. Like, are we going to agree that we're bad? Yes, guys, you're right. We are bad people. I'm just going to go.
I think you can judge a man by the quality of his enemies, and I've always believed that. And I am delighted that people like Villy and ProGod and Gobbins and all of like the people who are really like hardcore Gurmitani types, that's usually I do pay attention to it, because if my enemies are shitty people, I must be doing something right. And exactly. Of course, they're going to get mad that I said that my enemies are shitty people, but I'm going to take every opportunity to remind you guys that these people have said that everyone in Goonswarm and everyone in the Imperium and everyone even remotely affiliated with me or anything that I ever touch or do are awful people in the real world, right? Remember, Pro-God Villy and the Piss P guys started the War of Annihilation, goons are a cancer in the community, let's get rid of them stuff, which didn't work out very well for Bob 10 years ago or 15 years ago. Jesus Christ, time's a blur. They did this. And so when I say the same damn thing, they're going to go crying back to crying stations. But we were going to talk about economy. Why are we? If we shit on these losers, we're just going to shit on these losers more until they stop crying. And it seems like they're not going to stop crying. So it's an addiction. The more they cry like bitches, the more we have to be good. So let's talk about the economy.
It's like a vicious circle. All right.
So we have three guys here.
I want to introduce you guys and have you talk a little bit about yourselves, because we know who you are, and I think a lot of the luminaries, at least within the Goonsword Federation and the Imperium, know who you are. But I don't think the larger audience knows who you are, and I want to make it clear, we got three of the smartest finance guys in the game. They're sitting in this room right here talking to us. So, Kaz, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, and then we'll go to Nadrakish, we'll go to Angry next to go over that. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Kaz.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, I played with Goonsworm quite a lot, 2010 to 2015. I was super involved in the Dominion era, got unceremoniously space fired because I had largely not been playing. And when the Horn of Gundor went off, and I said, you know what? Well, if we're fighting a losing war, I'm going to go down with the ship and I'm back. So I ran a member corporation. It was actually a bunch of friends of mine who came over from World of Warcraft, and we had some historical links with something awful, and we joined up at the time, and it just so happened that at that time Goonswarm owned a whole two star systems in all of Eve. So it was a really entertaining career. I did a lot of stuff around industry, jump raiders. I probably have compressed more 425 millimeter guns than anyone. I know that's an ancient thing now. It qualifies as ancient. That hasn't been a thing for a long time.
I just like that you reminded me that was a thing. It's been a long time since that was a thing.
Yeah. So that's sort of where I'm coming from. So a lot of this is actually new to me. It's been really interesting to have people ask me questions where I'm like, well, I know the answer to this 5 years ago. I happen to be, we raised a lot of money a few months ago. That's been very public knowledge. That was a lot of fun. I got to do a little Oprah stint handing out Titans a few months back. A lot of people in the Imperium will tell you about that. So it's been a really entertaining war for me personally, lots to do. And the industry changes are especially interesting because I like a lot of what the overall vision is for the future in terms of diversification of the economy. I think that can only be positive for Eve. So, excellent. And we have a relatively new finance team, Nod and Angry are also directors within the Alliance, and I'll let them introduce themselves also.
Nod, you go ahead next.
Hi guys, I'm Nodrakish, Nodrak, whatever you want to call me. I'm going to play up you guys' this great soapbox intro. I'm a notorious Reddit shit poster. You guys might know me from there. Apologies if I've ruffled your feathers on Reddit. Like Chris said, it's open season, you know, sorry. like Kaz, I played a bunch of World of Warcraft. I metagamed the crap out of it there and broke the game there and then got bored of it and moved to Eve and metagamed Eve and sort of broke the game in Delve a little bit too. So maybe we'll get into that a little bit here. And then I was tapped to help win this war for the good guys. So yeah, I don't know if you need more from me or whatnot. That's pretty quick and dirty.
Sounds good.
I think that's great. Mustache, you've been on the show before, but please remind our guests, because it seems like we have a lot of people in the chat who are relatively new and or learning impaired because they happen to be in PASP. So go ahead and tell us who they are, who you are.
Okay. Hey, I'm Angry Mustache. I started this game around 2013, and I'm playing on and off until 2016 when I quit because, at least for me, the game got boring. I came back during Blackout as a line member and basically kind of shitposted my way into being a director somehow. I also am a prolific Reddit shitposter, and that's basically the history of me and Eve so far.
That's it. So we're happy to have all of these members of Reddit Swarm with us today to help usher in the finance chat, right?
All right, guys. All right, let's start this off. How do we even begin, right? So I'm gonna ask Kazanir, why don't you start and then direct it around to Angry or Nidrakish. Fundamentally speaking, Brisk and I can only really ask you guys dumb questions and you can like riff amongst each other and sort of explain to us. So I'm gonna start with the very, very, very basics. CCB has altered industry. It looks like more alterations may be coming down the pipe. The economy has gone into maybe we should all be using battle cruisers because they'll be easy to be supplied, except that doesn't seem to actually be the case. Caps, the prices are skyrocketing. I would just like to get a general overview, because here's the thing. The meta show is a lot of Nullsec warrior types who don't really dive into industry or economy stuff until it interferes with their gameplay, right? When suddenly they want to buy a warship and that warship costs three times as much as it did before, they're wondering, where am I going to get my next Ferox, right? So can you just kind of bring us up to speed on what the fuck happened and what are the impacts that players of EVE who mainly PvP and not just industry stuff are seeing, and how do we get here? And then you guys can, you know, see whatever. That's a very broad question because, again, I'm not the industry guy, but Kaznir, explain us what the fuck to get things going.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're seeing is that CCP wants, especially capital ships, and they started with battleships, but really the majority of the large changes apply to super capitals and capitals. They want those to be constructed through a diverse economic process, that they're not just Tech 1 minerals anymore, that they involve a lot of different aspects in the economy. And that so what they've done is bring all of these different pieces into the capital production chain, which obviously makes it substantially more complex. But probably is ultimately good. A lot of the things that they have added will hopefully increase the value of activities that really have not had a lot of value in EVE necessarily. But at the same time, all these changes are really fairly sudden. Not a lot of people were prepared. And the additional complexity is creating this environment where there's not a lot of knowledge about how to deal with those things. And it sort of is this regulatory uncertainty where no one necessarily knows what's going to happen next. It feels like difficult for people all over EVE, not us, to respond, right? We've been analyzing all the information we have for some time. We have some relatively good new tools built, and we're pretty informed about what we think the costs are, but we can also see where those uncertainties are, and where that potentially is going to create some problems.
So one of the things we were talking about, and I know we discussed this with Riv the last time she was on the show, one of the big problems that I think we as EVE players have is, unless we have the tools, unless we're looking at the tools that are provided, you know, that the groups, the big groups have, like you guys have a lot of tools to look in behind the scenes, and we have some screenshots of some of the data that you guys put together that you use on a daily basis to track things. If you don't have access to that, you're basically operating off the MER that comes out every month from CCP. But we've found through a long history of data mining of the MER that it's not always accurate, and it's hard for us to recreate the data that the MER shows, which is surprising because you would think that given all of these data endpoints are on the ESI, we can get access to all this information. We should be able to, you know, for example, recreate just like the mineral price index. I'm going to pull this up, and I want to show you guys stuff, and then I want to hear you guys talk a little bit about it because I think this is interesting. So if you look, this is the economic indices from CCP. This is the mineral price index, the CPI, the PPI, the SPPI. They say it's a changed Lazarus indices. It goes back 3 years, all right? And you can see the big...
Okay, that's ridiculous enough, even for me. I'm right? Awful at econ, and I can see that's a fucking hockey stick right
but
there.
But the thing that's weird is, if you look at the numbers, we take the same data and we recreate it. This is a non-chained MPI of the Forge, and it looks like that other map. But that's just for the Forge for a one-year period, not a three-year. So it kind of looks like that. But if you look at it, an actual chained Lazarus index for a year, and the whole difference between chained is unchained is chained is it has a set point, and the unchained is everything. This looks like everything's okay. So we're trying to figure out, it's just hard for us to figure out what is actually being shown by the data and if it has any real relationship to what we feel in the game. You would think that with the MPI looking crazy like that, that we would feel some kind of inflationary pressure in the game. And I don't think we do. Can you guys talk about that already, or am I full of shit?
Yeah, Angry, can you come in here, or Angry or Nod, one of you? We already had Kaznir, but just explain what the hell Brisk said and what those charts meant and what we should think about it, please.
I think Riv actually made that chart, and I think the whole point is CCP has a published sign on their graph, but that when we try to reproduce it, right, you know, scientific papers, you reproduce things, you use reproducible methods, we don't quite get the same results, but we do get similar results if you use a method that's not what CCP said they're using on that graph. And this will come back later in a sort of a overall overarching theme, which is that CCP is a fairly data-driven company, and what happens to your decision if your data that you interpret is off, and that MPI graph is just one example of it.
Okay, so I remember you kind of popped up on the radar on this whole topic a couple of weeks ago when you posted an analysis of the consumer price index, which essentially suggested that because CCP had put Plex into the data, what my takeaway from all of this has been is that we are learning, as you guys are trying to recreate CCP's graphs and charts, that CCP's indexes and their graphs and charts are not outputting, like, basically that they're wrong, right? Like, they're either they're looking at the wrong data in certain ways, or they're corrupting the data by including Plex stuff in there. Am I headed in the right direction here in terms of non-conclusion here?
All their data is correct. It's numerically correct. It's not being interpreted or presented correctly. So Brisk, can you bring up the CPI
sure
image if we have it?
Which one do you want?
The one where it shows the one I made, the one that shows CPI with and without Plex items.
Oh, let me see if I can find that.
Have we been throwing graphs at Brisk all day?
I don't know if I had that one ready, unfortunately. Let me see if I can find it. But go ahead, keep talking while I look for this.
Goons are bad for the game. Remember, burn Jita, says Jita Trader. Don't forget.
Can we explain the graph, Angry? That what it looked like, or what?
That's funny. I was actually in charge of the first burn Jita. Damn.
Oh yeah. But basically, here is the broader concern. While we fiddle with graphs and stuff, here is one of the things that has, like, why do we have a big econ panel here? Here's the challenge for nullsec warrior types. CCP is doing a bunch of stuff involving changing the economy to diddle with scarcity, to alter industry, to do all the things that they are doing. And it appears that the indexes that they have been using to base some of the decisions that they have been making about whether the balance changes that they're doing are good or bad, as far as some of the things that our finance team have investigated, it appears that these indexes include things that they shouldn't, i.e., like, there's something that has no business being in a consumer price index in a consumer price index. And you don't really need to know all the gritty gory details about it. The question that rises in my mind is, if in the middle of the longest war in the history of Eve, we find out that the MER and the CPI and all of this stuff is looking at the wrong bips and boops, why would that matter? Well, remember last year, maybe a year before that, where CCP said that they relied heavily on data and it was great and fine. And according to their data, most of the CSM at the time, who was nullsec players, counted as highsec players. So we have been in a situation before where, as a player base, regardless of what side you're on in this war or whatever, if the core index stuff that is going into deciding whether the MER chart goes up or down or whatever the hell it is that they do, if that data itself is, maybe the data is right, but the attributes they're measuring are wrong, or it's the wrong mix of measurements, then you end up in a situation here where CCP is like, hey, the price index is fine. And the players are like, why the fuck does it cost five times as much to buy a Ferox or whatever? Right. Let's see if I've got that right.
All right, Angry. I've got that, spreadsheet. If you want to walk us through it, I'll throw it back up on the screen. Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So the issue basically is that when we looked at the basket of items that comprises the CPI, so before I talk, let's talk about what a CPI is. So a CPI, the consumer price index, is the average price of a basket of items that is weighted by a certain weight that's dependent on the person that's putting it together. So the U.S. Federal Reserve makes one, and it's a very popular index to show approximate inflation within an economy. And now if you look at the CPI on the MER, you'll see that it's actually trending downwards since the start of scarcity rather than trending upwards, which is that it does not follow the MPI, which you would think that it does, because the MPI The minerals are the raw materials that goes into finished consumer goods like ships and modules. Now, now when we look at the data CCP has on there, what we actually found was that a very large part of the CPI is actually skill injectors. Now, the issue with skill injectors is that skill injectors are not created by player activity. Skill injectors are created by someone taking their credit card and go and giving their money to CCP for some plex that they turn into skill injectors and then sell. The issue is that with that is that there's no gameplay activity related with creating a skill injector, and the price of a skill injector is more dependent on the economy, or if, you know, if there's a plague and we can't spend our monies on Florida vacation, so we spend it on this game. And the net result of that is that over this time, skill injectors basically have been dragging the whole CPI down, while the average price for non-plex related items has actually been slowly creeping up. Because CCP has included this very different item within the CPI basket, essentially makes the whole CPI not representative of what players actually pay.
And that's amazing. I mean, it's amazing that the addition of one single item to that market basket of goods can completely throw off the opinion and the views of everybody playing the game looking at the MER as to whether or not there actually is inflation in EVE. And in fact, they're looking at it and they're saying, oh, it looks like costs or prices are going down, when that's not the reality. That's funky. And I think that's one of the things, I think one of the things we would like to see, and one of the things I'm going to talk to folks on the CSM about, and if I haven't added this to my campaign stuff, but I think I will. I would like to see us have a broader discussion over some of these metrics so that we can break out and get the data in the MER that I think is most useful for the players. And I was very pleased to see that they did add a bunch of stuff. Like, for the first time, we're finally seeing Wormhole Blue Loot broken out so we can see exactly how much ISK these guys are making. It's a lot. And we can see exactly how much, you know, Abyssal Dead Space is providing, how much Potchfin's providing, also a lot. And that was stuff we didn't have before. I think having these tools is pretty critical, but part of the thing is we need to know that the tools and the data that we're being shown is correct, and we need to be able to recreate it, and we can't always do that. Well, I think it's worth at least having a conversation, and I'm glad that I know some of you guys have spoken with CCP directly because you've told me that you've done that. I'm glad that they're listening and hopefully working together, you know, with the finance guys, that you guys can also try to help get this data out there, because frankly, the MER is the number one thing that people look at. All the EVE shows talk about it. TIS, they always do a rundown of what's in there, and everybody talks about it. We do it on INN. We do it here on the Meta Show sometimes. It's been a feature for the last 2 years. But if we're looking at data that's not right, then we're drawing wrong conclusions, and that's frustrating, and I think we need to fix that. So I want to thank you guys for pointing some of this stuff out.
I want to get in here and point out that when I am saying that I think CCP is using, based upon the evidence that was seen so far, based upon basically player research from some of these guys here that are guests and in various other places, is I don't think that this is like an intentional thing on CCP's part. Like, in almost every scenario where we have looked at data that they are pulling together for one reason or another, I don't think that, you know, they're sitting there going, oh, ha ha ha, we're going to diddle with the MER and we're going to mess with the data by adding plex and injectors into it, and so it'll cover over the inflation fact. Like, no, I don't think that that's happening. I do think that the indexes appear to be busted, and I suggest in general that, completely independent of any war related things, if you are the kind of econ oriented industry player that understands what our guests are saying in more detail, please do compare notes amongst yourselves and your various channels and whatever, because I think that there's potentially a not necessarily an easy fix, but for something like this, if enough players get together and compile their data and run it through whatever econ nerd ringer is required to get there, that we could essentially create our own like player MER to try to figure out what would be like a real version, right? A non-CCP estimate of this if you corrected the index. And then once there was something like that, then we could maybe line that up against the CCP MER and see. And I don't know if that's possible, but I do think that in a situation where it appears that maybe CCP's scripts aren't as correct as we would like them to be, I don't want us to say, ha ha ha, CCP sucks. What I want us to do is go, let's find out the thing that's busted, and then we can push for it to get fixed, right? Like that's the direction.
All right. We're, right. And yeah, absolutely. I totally concur about CCP's intent here. I don't think that this is malicious in any way. It's more a matter of understanding, right? And with inflation in particular, the way to understand inflation is to talk about purchasing power. That's what is the what is underlying that. If inflation is going up, your purchasing power is less, right? So it's natural to think about a skill injector and think that, well, this is something I want to buy and its price is whether I can purchase it. But it's so linked to Plex that what happens is if Plex is going down in price, that is actually the same as saying that someone's purchasing power for the rest of the economy has decreased, right? Because if your purchasing power is lower, suddenly it's going to be more worth it to you to buy a Plex to get that ISK, right? And that, so it essentially has the opposite behavior of all of these other products, which is why it should not be in there. And Plex itself has too many other things affecting it in the real world to even enter an economic discussion. We don't want to talk about stuff like, you know, the global plague. Those are huge impacts, but that's exactly why tying it into the rest of the real consumer products in the economy, it just leads in the wrong direction. So that's something that's an easy fix, but it also explains why we have the whole game feeling like, well, it's impossible to purchase stuff. And meanwhile, the data that we're looking at or the summary data is not indicating that there are reasons for mismatches like that.
And I want to address something in the chat. One of the guys, Kawadic, is saying, oh, there's no problem with wormhole or ISK generation. It's fine. It's not really us that's doing it. It's a bunch of Chinese RMTers. All right, first of all, that's the oldest excuse in the fucking book. So cry me a river if I don't believe that when you say it. If that is true, then report these guys and come up with some evidence and give it to me, and I will give it to the team security guys. We'll get those guys banned. But in the meantime, we look at the numbers. Trillions of ISK made every month from Blue Loot in wormholes. We have wormholers on Reddit explaining how they're doing it. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because I'm talking about what you guys have told us. And frankly, you know, one of the other things we wanted to talk about, because I like this graph, because this is a pretty solid graph. The idea that all of these different areas should be balanced on a risk-reward ratio, that the riskiest places should have the most ISK generation and the places that are less risky should have less. Let's look at this. Because I thought this was, these guys showed this to me today and I was pretty amazed by this. Look at ISK destroyed and the areas of the game that it's in. Empire Space is number 2. Sov Null, number 1, most dangerous place. Look what's not that dangerous.
Wormholes and trig stuff down to the very, very bottom. Wait, I'm sorry, weren't those the guys that always talk about how they're the biggest hardcore PvPers compared to everybody else, and that if they just got out of wormhole space they'd all show us all we're for, who then turned around and cried a whole bunch when Nullsec actually, oh wait, I seem to remember a bunch of crying when the initiative blew up a keep star in wormhole space. Huh. Anyway, that looks pretty fucking safe to me. I'm not good at charts and graphs, but those lines were at the bottom, which tells my simple little bitten brain that it's pretty fucking safe in trig space and in wormhole space.
So yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, please.
Please, econ people, talk about this. Well, we don't know.
I just wanted to add a personal note. Right? Like, this is not new. It's 10 years ago now that I think it was Grath that posted something on Kugu about how to do C5 wormholes. And Kay Keller and I were business partners at the time and made a lot of money in wormholes based on that tech. This is not a new thing. And actually, they're relatively difficult to bot if that's what you're after. Right. So these are excuses, right? This is not a new thing. It's just that it's been hiding out without being broken out in the economic data. And suddenly people are uncomfortable with a little bit of sunlight being shined on their operations. Right.
And for those of you who out there who are claiming that this is comparing apples to oranges, and because that's raw data and it's not indexed per capita, that just makes your argument that you're not making a lot of ISK and wormholes complete even more bullshit. There are fewer of you making tons of money, which means the per capita amount that you're making is way higher than in Null. You're not making your case any better, okay? So seriously, just stop. It's not, you're digging a hole and you're just going to bury yourselves in it. I'm trying to help you. Just stop. Yeah. Stop talking.
But I think the other point this kind of relates to is that the MER is such a public source of data, is that what's in it and what's not on it are both important, because it also drives sort of the public outrage that forces CCP to change things. So, for example, for over 2 years, we didn't have blue loot on the MER as commodity was rising. So there wasn't quite a lot of outrage given to that. There was also wasn't a lot of outrage.
So I'm going to jump in here. I got to interject. That's okay. Angry. So blue loot wasn't on the MER, but it was the only thing not on the MER. So you could find out what it was by just removing everything else.
Right, but it's not accessible information. We've always had our estimates, but it's not accessible.
Is this where you dive into talking about graphs and stuff and how to read
sort
them?
Of accessible information is what drives public discourse. And when you have these sort of issues on the only source of accessible data, right, it does drive public discourse because for 2 years, Delve was a very big hotspot on the MER and you could see it. And that's why Delve became the center of a lot of talks about how NullSec is out of control. And then now you can see that FRT has made Veil lit up and now people are talking about how FRT is a problem. Well, those are the things you can see, but there's also a lot of things you can't see. So for example, I'm fairly certain if CCP added LP onto the MER in regional tabulations, people will be talking about how Stang is a problem or how Vino is a problem, which all makes it a little more important that that CCP be inclusive with the data and try to minimize the distortions they do have.
Can I play devil's advocate here a little bit? And like, are we focusing too much on the economy from CCP's side? Like, I'm going to play a little game here. What's the top three items in the game in any region traded in terms of value?
Plex injectors and small injectors. That's my guess.
Yes, and that holds true for every region across all the entire game, basically. Titans doesn't matter. That's true in Delve. That's true in Jita. That's true everywhere. And that's sort of ridiculous when you think about it. The fourth item is the first game valuable item.
I would think that's like probably. Actually, I don't know.
It varies depending on the time and stuff. But yeah, so I don't know. I think we dive into looking at some graphs and what graphs show and some stuff about how to read graphs and get actual real knowledge about data. Is that a good segue? I don't know.
Yeah, I think takeaway here is that it's not always the right thing to just rely on the top line number because there's a lot of underlying data. And what we have observed over the years is that this always ends up favoring the lack of completely accurate information is always going to end up favoring the players who are more organized and have access to more data and can do more work on it, where it ends up being misleading to someone who doesn't have access to that, someone who's new to EVE, someone who might be in a very small player organization. And I think overall, it's got to be very beneficial to have these things fixed and have that stuff upgraded over time so that that information is not limited to solely the people who can make their own spreadsheets, if you will.
So like one of the examples is the CPI index you were talking about earlier. If you actually go to the full index history of it, it doesn't really show much. And this is what I was talking about in a private chat earlier, was the last thing you can really see is when invention hit and tanks T2 prices. And because their calculations are wrong, it's all pegged to that price still. And that's why the price is low because, well, a damage control hasn't cost 2 million ISK since 2007. So I don't. Briss doesn't have a graph for that, or we look at it. So I don't know. I don't know if you want to dive into the graphs I sent you, Briss.
I want to bring. We could talk for another hour about this stuff because I find it interesting. I think the audience finds it interesting, even if they're too busy misinterpreting what I've been saying about wormholes for the last 10 minutes. Because you know, God forbid you say anything about wormhole IS generation. Those guys circle the wagons faster.
I did not come to the table today expecting a wormhole blue loot conversation.
I didn't think I was saying anything that was crazy.
You kicked the fire ant nest, and now right? The blue loot.
I didn't think I was
saying
like wormholers make a lot of ISK. I didn't realize that was a controversial statement. Yeah. But anyway, I wanted to talk about the industry changes because I think there's a lot of stuff going around about potentially what the costs are going to be down the road. Now, Nodrac, you had given me some jump freighter before and after kinds of graphs to talk. Can we run through those real quick?
Yeah, I think this is going to be really good. And all right. Sorry to all the people that have been hedging jump freighters or monopolizing them. The gig's up. I'm releasing some data. You had your chance. Let's have some fun.
All right, so here's the first graph. This is the current state of jump freighters. Walk us through.
Holy
this.
Fuck, that's a frightening graph.
This
I'm
is
scared.
A graph.
Hold
There's
me.
A lot of density
graph
on
for
it.
You guys.
We're going to talk about it. This is current 1DQ1 prices for building all parts of a jump freighter ground to table. using the current Jita cell prices. And there's a bunch of extra crap in there. It does all the science, invention, reaction, everything. But the main breakaway is that right now it's about 10 billion, 10 and a half billion total cost. And then you throw your 5% markup and your sales tax and your broker, whatever, you get like 11 and a half billion. And right now you can buy a jump freighter on Jita for around this price. So this is a reasonable price, even though the old price was way cheaper, but we're not going to get into that. But there's a few things in here that are interesting, like the breakdown of the reaction times. Like it's 23% titanium carbide and 11% silicon borite and all that crap and the material costs. And if you want to take a screenshot of this and read it later, there's tons of stuff here. So if you go to the next one, this is the price of the exact same analysis now. It's the different sheet, so it's a bit messy. But the reaction days, of, if you look at the bottom right pie graph there, this is the old reaction time compared to the new reaction time in the same freighter. So the old reaction time is the two left bits, the teal and the orange one and bottom right there. Everything on the right-hand side of that pie chart is new reaction time required to build the same jump freighter. So it's over half. The amount of reaction time to build the same jump freighter is more than doubled. And if you look at the graph above it, this is the breakdown of the time for each individual part. And you can see there's a huge one in there that's reinforced carbon fiber and the pressurized oxidizers and the thermosetting polymers. And those are the three new reactions and the carbon fiber for them and all that stuff. And this is the source of the big inflated job costs that everyone's been so confused about lately, is these new reaction materials.
Okay, so
that was a lot of information.
Let me just try to understand this. Are you saying that jump freighter take more time to make and thus cost more? Or what's the...
Yes.
You just showed me two very complicated graphs, and half of the chat is delighted by the graph porn, and I'm in the part that's going, my God, I feel like I just got out of an SAT math section or something, right? Like, I have the I just did math problems by accident kind of brain burn. So... are you like, what's the conclusion? Are jump freighters taking longer to build because of, or they're more expensive, or break it down for me?
Yeah. So the jump freighters are going to take longer to build. And because of that, there's going to be more of a hit on the reaction system index, which means the job cost is going to cost more, which they've already increased because of these new things. So it's just sort of compounding the cost upwards in a, like, it's,
so you're saying,
like,
wait a second, is this this chart saying it's going to be $18 billion to build a fucking jump freighter?
Yes. And that is with optimized building, with same caveats from before.
Optimized building. And so assuming that non-optimized, like rando puppy building, what's like, because I'm not saying like Delve price index, but like outside of Delve, non-professional types doing it, like what's
factoring some
what's
profit your, into it, you're looking at like 20 billion jump freighters possibly
in Jita. Jesus Christ. And previously speaking, what was the pre-scarcity, actually not even pre-scarcity, but just before this patch, what was the going rate?
About 11 billion.
11 billion. But if you get into the whole secret Delve thing, the real price was significantly lower, and that's the miracle of Delve.
Right.
So that's the thing. So, I mean, and I think the one thing that we've been trying to make it clear to everybody is at least the way that these new industry changes are going, the cap building process is much more complex than it was. The subcap building process is probably a little easier than it was. And I think everybody fully expects that you're going to see a reduction in price from battleships and below. And I think battleships are probably going to go down a little bit too, even though we heard claims that they were going to go up. But the capital costs are going to go up pretty considerably because there's a ton of new stuff that you need to do to build them. And not only is there new stuff that you need to build, there's also additional time requirements. Is that accurate? Is that an accurate read of that, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
so
right.
How time-wise, so previously speaking, you know, how long did it take to bake a jump freighter from start to finish? And I know components and a bunch of confused. We're in the mittens. I'm going to ask dumb questions for everybody else that's terrified of those charts that you put up. So previously speaking, how long would it take to bake a jump freighter?
So it depends on your production line and whether you do a bunch of complicated things.
Jita Puppy standard.
20 days to do the reactions if you had enough slots. But the total time is about 220 days worth.
And was that before the changes or
before the changes? Yeah.
And now after the changes,
it's about 600 days worth just for the
reaction. So they've like tripled the amount just of time just for the what? Does it look like they intended to do this, or is this like a knock on a consequence? Like when you're talking about like job times and stuff, you know, you've completely lost me. I see stuff goes into spaceship and spaceship comes out and then we try to kill people or try to save the spaceship from getting killed. That's my sort of understanding of industry up until the point that you get a spaceship. But you're saying that due to something involving, talk to us about the jobs and the time increase on that. Well, because
just to be clear, the guys in the chat are freaking out over the 600 days. You can do that stuff concurrently, right?
Right.
So it's not, so, it's 600 days total. It's not 600 days
picture
in a row.
For us again, Briss, the very first one. It has the batch size, I call it. It's when you're building in an optimized production line, you have the cost of the hull or the time it takes to build the hull, and then the time it takes to build the materials in that hull, and then each stage has its own time, and if you want to optimize it, you match them. And that's in that chart somewhere. Like the build time is 10 days up there, so then it optimizes it around the batch time of 10 days for the hull, and you get, like, there it says you need 21.6 reaction slots to do that. So it depends on what scale you work at and sort of what capital you can leverage, sort of thing.
So basically, if you previously were making a jump freighter in like 10 days or whatever it was, if you want to have the same time after this patch, like if you want to have the same production time prior to the patch, you need to scale up your production line capacity by 3x. Is that
about that? Yeah. And okay. You need reactions 5 for a bunch of these instead
so
of
so you need 3
1.
Times the amount of character throughput in terms of time and production lines and access and skills and all that other sort of stuff to shit out the components and widgets and beep boops and whatever. So basically it's a triple nerf on time and a more than double nerf on cost. Is that what I'm getting from this?
A lot of the cost for a jump freighter specifically comes from the same problems happening with the freighter input. So a freighter input itself is about 5 billion by the same price estimate with the same problems in it, but less so. So again, it's all tied to the system index for a lot of this stuff.
Okay, I'm gonna try to take us to a place for the war people here again.
It's gonna take time for this to
like
shake
Titans
out too.
On this too, like, do we have because the fact that a jump freighter itself would cost 3 times as much in terms of like production throughput to result in that, are we seeing similar increases in production line time requirements for the more, you know, the capital ships and the super capital ships? Is that also in there?
Yeah, okay. When we talked on the Illuminati meeting there about the 300 million Titans or whatever, that's where this price was using the same valuation from, like a realistic worst case build cost for us trapped in 1DQ.
Right, 300 billion, you said. Is that
300
right?
Billion.
300 billion.
We're talking 300 B Titans. Yeah, that's now, I look forward to Pappy, you know, being able to repay their M2 loss bill.
All their war bonds for one Titan, right?
Yeah, basically.
there's a reason we reimbursed ours as fast as we could. And I think the answer to Mittens' question is we're not completely sure about how much is intended, right? And it links back to the MER discussion.
We don't know if they wanted to do this or if they didn't realize that the WYSGIGs and beep boops would result in this. Is that what you're saying?
Honestly, guys, you know, and I'm not going to do any NDA stuff or anything like this, but I'll tell you, if you listen to the public statements, if you listen to what CCP... Psych and CCP, Rattati and others have said in various places when they've been out on these streams and stuff talking. I think that part of the industry changes, part of the philosophy behind the industry changes was to address super capital and Titan proliferation. That was a concern. So I think they are basically saying that, yes, you can still build these. Yes, these are still aspirational ships, but they're going to cost way more than we were spitting them out off the assembly line over the last 5 or 3 or 4 years. So I think my big concern, and I've expressed this before, one of the big issues that I have with scarcity, one of the big issues I have with a lot of these changes is we are the guys who have climbed up a big ladder to get over this giant wall that is Titan and Supercap production. And now that we're on the top of the wall, we're pulling the ladder up after us and nobody's going to be able to follow. So that's the thing. I think it's going to have an impact on wars. It's going to have an impact on the decision-making process. And we know full well our opponents in this war make all of their decisions, live or die, over questions of what they can afford to lose and if they're willing to do what they have to do. They don't just throw stuff at the wall like we do. They're a very, very much more conservative little c when it comes to that kind of thing. So the idea that right now, because of the way that the ship production is going to be for these caps and super caps, I think it's going to make a lot of people a lot more conservative about whether they're willing to do that. And I think that's part of the reason why we saw the announcements from various groups that, oh, yeah, we're going to take 1DQ, but we're going to do it in subcaps, which I think we all think is funny. But I don't think they have a choice because I don't think they're willing to lose their Titan fleet in order to take 1DQ. So that's kind of the position that we're in, because they know if they do, they're never going to be able to get another one.
Fleet already a little bit. So
that's also true. Yes. That's also obviously true. All right, we're running out of time here. I know Frank needs to stop by because he's got some stuff to talk about. Guys, is there anything you want to leave us with before we go on to the next segment and then wrap up?
I could talk for hours.
Yeah.
We got to get you guys back. I mean, this is fun.
I'll express total agreement with what Brisk said about scarcity, and this is what I've been calling the albatross of unintended consequence, right? Like with a scarce environment, the effects get sort of unpredictable because there's no release valve for things. There's no way for someone, if something is out of whack in the economy, to go produce more of that thing. That's very difficult. And so it leaves the space open for the established power holders, whether that's us, whether that's our enemies, whether that is a very rich person speculating on materials you can no longer produce. It doesn't matter. It leaves that door open for those actors to take advantage of that, because like Brisk said, we're already over the wall, right? We've climbed the ladder. Between that and the difficulty of knowing what data is correct and how much of what is intended, it creates this uncertain environment that is only favorable to the people who already have climbed that ladder. I think that's absolutely right.
Okay, well, let's transition to having Frank on here, who can give us a proper war update, and I hope that I'll be able to understand Frank. I can keep up with Frank. I can't keep up with our genius finance team. So thank you all for our guests. You guys have now gotten to see sort of into the stare into the abyss, which is the Goonswarm finance team's internal spreadsheets. They frighten and scare me, and my poor little brain just starts shorting out when I see like the real stuff. So, yeah. Thanks for coming, guys. I appreciate it. We will have you back on.
Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. We might have you back on after the Fountain Frank. But let's hear from our man. Let's get all a proper.
We haven't had a Frank update in a while. He has been jonesing to come and tell you what Innit's doing. So we will see you back on the other side of this war update theme. Holy shit, where the hell have I been? It has been like a freaking month since the last time I was on this show, because you tryhards won't shut the fuck up long enough to let me on here. You got Merkel Chen out there doing his thing. You got Innominate on here talking about Linux. You got all these guys with their graph porn. I'm telling you right now, there are guys in the audience that have bought out every fucking bottle of Jergens at the local fucking shopping center since this show started. There's going to be a run on tissue paper when they go back and watch the show again. They're so excited by the graph porn. Guys, I'm here to tell you about an exciting thing that is happening. And I also have our favorite lost mail of the week. Innit, our favorite group. We never lived in Fountain. We live in Curse now, sort of. But we just did a major deployment to Ketch and Impasse. When we got to Impasse and Ketch, everybody in Legacy was all, hey, this is so great. We're going to live in Delve. We're going to live in Quirius. We're going to live in all the spaces that we had before. No, you fucking weren't. All your shit's dead. The only things left are the Keep Stars because we don't feel like it. That's it. Maybe a couple things at GE Tech because we got tired of going out and crushing your structures like that ant Mittens killed in the beginning of the show. We're tired of it. So we're going someplace else. So where, by God, could Innit go? Well, we already got rid of all the baby groups in Legacy that were like the hangers-on and the guys that were like kind of sad and the groups that no longer exist anymore. So we cleared out Impasse. We cleared out Cash. Where are we going to go next? Who hasn't been touched? Who hasn't had the nasty finger of Innit probing their nether regions? Who has not received in its unsolicited finger in the anus. Let's ask who it is. I think I know. Slice, you're next. It's time for us to go up north. We're going to Ethereum Reach, ladies and gentlemen, and we already started doing it. Slice's time. We're going for PanFam. We're going up to your space. Now, let me show you. This is fun. This is from today. This is a battle report. I have it on good authority. Good authority. That earlier today, the dirty evil blobbers. I don't know why Horde is on this side of this. That's kind of funny. The dirty evil blobbers in the initiative went up north and dumpstered a bunch of Ferroxes, which are already too expensive for these guys to really afford to lose up here in Ethereum Reach. The most important thing to note here is Slice pinged like 30 times to get people in the fleet to jump clone from Delve up to this fight. They have a ping to dude in fleet ratio of almost 1-to-1. That is Sort Dragon levels of pings to people in fleet ratio. And the fight today created an amazing thing. And I know you guys are looking at the numbers, 1.8 billion. Who cares? Guys, we're just getting started. But this was my favorite kill mail. This is the kill mail of the week. I would like to say thank you to our dear friend in Slice, K-Town Heckard, for the dual web active tanked double gyro stab Wriggless Ferox.
Gyro stabs?
Gyro stab. Look, gyro stabs. Two of them on your rails. No rigs.
Where are the rigs in cargo?
No rigs in cargo. No rigs they're just not even just fucking not, there. No, they're not there.
Wow. Well, this Don is Craving.
This is like. It's the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, I am so looking forward to giving Slice and the guys up north a little taste of what it's like to be in a real war. And I already have it on good authority. Our spies in the north have already told us that Slice has canceled their Delve deployment. We didn't even know they did, to go back north to defend their space. Because if you look at Dotland, they do have like a ton of Ethereum Reach, and I'll pull it up and show you guys real quick here. Like, I mean, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of Ethereum Reach. It's like, oh, all that blue. Look at all that. But look over here. Look at this. Already starting. It's already starting. Purge. It's starting to burn.
Is that some Pandemic Horde stuff, or is that some Horde stuff right there?
There
right
is some Horde stuff there. Wow, I can't type there very good.
Oh gosh, I'm sure Gobbins is gonna write me a strongly worded letter about how I shouldn't call him a cowardly little bitch now that PanFam is on the receiving end of some initiative treatment. Oh, pull babies, pull
Isn't
babies.
Isn't it exciting? This is the first time that the North has had a relevant fight since Kim Kardashian was relevant. It's been that long since they've had a fight. And so all I'm saying is we can expect a lot of fun up north, because Innit's there, and you know what they like to do. What do they like to do, George? That's right, George. They like to fuck shit up. He's a filthy mouth monkey, people. All I'm saying is, everybody asked where Innit was. We went up to Curse. We crabbed a little bit. We're ready to go. We got our mojo back. Darkshines has got a whole fucking bushel full of potatoes. Pando has got so much currywurst, he doesn't know what to do with himself. We are ready, and we're going to go, and we're going to smack around some guys in the north while they pretend that this war in the south is anything besides shitposting on Reddit. That's it. I'm out. That's the Frank for this week. Mittens, you talk to these guys until Briss gets back.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming, Frank. Now, this is going to be fascinating from a strategic perspective, because there have been theories over the course of this war that it would not necessarily be worthwhile or relevant to deploy counterattacking forces against PanFam, because the theory, of course, has been, oh, PanFam will be fine or whatever. But this was before Legacy helped us out by diving headfirst into the fucking wood chipper and then shitting themselves in front of the entire galaxy and having everything not keepstar shaped in their backfields get torched by Init and other Imperium friends and our various mercenary forces, etc. So I don't know if these guys are going to notice. Maybe they will simply let Init and friends torch the drone region PanFam backfield while things will continue in Delve and 1DQ1. And I'm perfectly content. I'm delighted that Init is deploying. I'm delighted that we were able to announce this today, because I've been sitting on this news for a little while. We know what a pissed off Init after they've had a chance to rest and recuperate is capable of, because there ain't much legacy stuff left. And now they're going to bring the same sort of treatment to the drone region. So I am eager to see how this happens. And I look forward to putting more pressure on the PanFam perpetrators. I look forward to shitting on these people who, for all of this time, have been clapping and cheering for everything that Vili and Progod said. And now, because Vili and Progod got all their shit burned down, we can deploy the initiative to the fucking PanFam backfield and see what happens out there. If you expect this to get nicer, if you expect this to get any nicer, I hope you do, because then you're going to be sorely mistaken and you'll scream more. So I do actually hope you think it's going to get nicer and more polite. It ain't. Consequences are finally coming home to PanFam. And it turns out that Thunderchild Gobbins, maybe he'll make another formation doctrine about it before any of that information has been released. I'm sure he has some very evidence-based posts to make. And he'll say, it's so awful that we're saying these things. But I am really, for one, I am delighted. A full initiative deployment is exactly what you motherfuckers deserve, and I hope you have a fun gameplay experience with it. Eat shit. That's it. I'm good.
And I would like to thank the Mitanni for creating an entire work week worth of bullshit I'm going to have to clean up now on the CSM, so thank you for that. I appreciate it. It's okay, though. It's, I'm used to it. It's what I do. That being said, I want to make sure, because Frank likes to talk about Init, but I know the folks in Catch and Impasse, there were a ton of people involved in that. So I want to make sure we give shout-outs to our friends in AAA, Bad Dodger and the guys in AAA, the guys in Red Alliance, the guys in the Triangles Go Burr, my boy Chillback and his SIG, Karma Fleet, including me and Merkel Chen and Innominate, were out there every night structure bashing for 4 or 5 hours at a time while drinking beer and hanging out with you guys on the stream. A ton of people were part of that process to burn down Catch and Impasse, and I'm looking forward to repeating that process in Ethereum Reach and seeing how many of the bads we can pull away. And guys, it's not personal. It's just your turn. That being said, it is now way over time. We are 15 minutes past time. You guys got an entire 10 extra minutes of the meta show this week, and you got it for free. So I'm hoping that you enjoyed it. I'd like to say, for the record, thank you to Kazanir. Thanks to Nodrakish and Angry Mustache. Thanks to Rivery. I never pronounce her name right, but I'm going to keep trying to pronounce it wrong until she corrects me. I want to thank all of them for the conversation and the education that we've gotten. To all our wormhole friends, don't take it personal. I didn't say I was doing anything about it. I just want you to know we know that you're rich. And Mittens, do you have anything? Any final closing thoughts before we get out of here?
My ass, Pispy. That's it. I'm good.
Is that six? I think that's six.
I expect you to tell me
the running number of how many Eat My Asses there were on the show today, because that's your job. All right? All right, guys, thanks again. This has been the Meta Show for Derby Day, May the 1st, May Day. We're wearing red for May Day. You know it. I hope you went out and got your Plex and got your cool red Burgess skin like I did. And I will see you all next time on the Meta Show. I'm Briss Rabal, joined by the Mitanni. You stay classy. New Eden.